Good evening, Detroit Lakes. This is the Vikings Territory Breakdown. I am your host, Joe Johnson. Owner, deep inhale there, because I own about 50 websites at this point. Oofta Sports is the main brand. That site and app is being built as we speak. The main sites are the Vikings websites, VikingsTerritory.com, PurplePTSD.com, PurpleTerritoryRadio.com. We also recently launched a general NFL site called FranchiseTag.com, a NCAA slash NFL draft prospect sort of database called the Draft Team. We're going to launch a badminton website next month that everyone's looking forward to. That's not true, but we might as well at this point. I'm here
You should try.
again. I should try what?
Go. You should try getting another website with those NWO guys. Get a website going for them.
Oh, I mean the super fans?
Yeah, super
Yeah,
fan.
once half of them get out of prison for apparently.
Whoa, ducks.
Yikes.
We like to go low and then end high on the VT breakdown. How you doing, Mr. Oberly? It's nice to hear from you. We haven't talked for a little bit.
I'm good. I'm good. I'm trying to keep grass alive in this sweltering heat and not cause a personal water crisis throughout the state of Minnesota. And it's not easy. It's pretty intense out there.
How's your maple syrup doing?
It's good. It's tasty. It's done. I'm just, we're already plotting next year. So, right now, you always plot it over a plate of pancakes and some great natural syrup, and
That sounds awesome.
it is.
I started this thing called Nutrisystem this week, which
Oh.
I had heard my brother-in-law lost like just a ton of weight doing it. And my problem, one of my main problems from a weight perspective, is that I only eat like once a day, usually around like 10 p.m. And so I'm trying.
I bet they don't have maple syrup on the menu.
They have pancakes.
Wow.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. I mean, if we really got down to the science of it, I would not call them pancakes. Hubcaps, maybe. Ultimate Frisbees,
There goes that sponsorship.
and I was this close to closing it. I should. They do that on the radio all the time, but then I would have to actually lose weight, and it'd be really embarrassing if I weighed in and like somehow. this says you died 2 weeks ago.
Well, you'd be more financially motivated because they would be sponsoring you. So
Yeah,
you would
but
have consequences for not taking it seriously, you know?
yeah. That's true, but that's never been my strongest suit, I guess. One of the main drivers of starting all these sites in the first place was getting away from people telling me what to do, I guess. So,
Yeah, you should introduce our guest. Sorry to tell you what to do, Joe.
well, now there people are just gonna have to guess. I don't want to be look. I don't
I
want to look
shouldn't have
like a
started
liar.
talking, but I have to chime in on Nutrisystem. I'm sorry.
You want some Nutrisystem?
No, not at all. Not at all.
She wants some maple syrup.
Yeah,
Fresh
I'd rather
maple
get
syrup.
fatter than thinner if Nutrisystem is my only option.
I will just to put a little pin in the Nutrisystem thing. I didn't pick it up from my locker delivery locker for like 3 days, so I think most of it went bad.
Ugh.
So if I just disappear randomly halfway through the show. Our new sponsor is a tapeworm, but we actually have a guest on the show today.
Nice
That
segue.
I'm a pro. I mean, that's all you can really say. That I'm very excited to introduce to everybody up in northern Minnesota and eastern North Dakota, southern Canada, all over the world. If you're a Vikings Twitter person, you're most likely familiar with Sally. I think you get introduced a lot on the Believe in Vikings podcast that you co-host with our very own Dustin Baker and former Vikings legend Bryant McKinney as Sally from Minneapolis. I'm not going to try to pronounce your last name per our discussion before the show, but
thank you. A lot of childhood trauma related to that. So
that, you know, that's I have an aversion to people calling me JJ because some of my hockey coaches back in the day used to do it, and the worst one is actually J squared, as if they are they were splitting the atom or something. But I am actually very psyched that you're here. You and I met when I came in to do Bob Sansevier's show, kind of pre-COVID. And then COVID happened, and I still do Sansevier's show, and I think you do too, but it's just on remote, so we don't really interact that much through that show. But a couple weeks ago, you and I talked on the phone, and it was really just it was really a great sort of thing where you were nervous to pitch me different ideas as to what you thought would be good content for our network, and like every single thing that you said were things that I've thought about for 2 years and thought we need to do, but I just can't do it myself because I never leave my house, so I can, you know what I mean? I can like give shut-ins guides to avoiding the sun. Like, I don't know what else to do, but I just wanted to say I'm super psyched that you're on the show, that you will be writing for us, doing shows for us in the near future, and I wanted to kind of hear from you the type of stuff that you were kind of envisioning doing and so on and so forth.
Yeah, so okay, I'm getting like nervous talking about this, but so I blogged years ago, back like 2012 to 2013, and I really enjoyed it, but Vikings Twitter was a completely different animal back then. Our entire community was different. We didn't have, you know, a ton of independent news sources like Vikings Territory, Purple PTSD, and I apologize if you guys existed back then, but I mean, I feel like the major sources for local Vikings takes was you went to one of the two radio stations, that sports stations that we had locally. And so I kind of got out of it in 2014 when I moved to Minnesota, because then I was going to every Vikings game in person at TCF Bank. And it just got to be overwhelming. You know, by the time I would get home, no, I don't want to rewatch the game and talk about my opinions on it. Yeah. Because obviously you see a different view in person and you're distracted and stuff like that. And I just kind of got disenchanted with it. And so I stopped. And then when I felt like I wanted to get back in it, the game had kind of really changed and it was much more saturated. With people sharing their opinions and not even so much the opinions that intimidated me, but there were so many people who could speak about football at a higher level, breaking down schemes, you know, X's and O's that were never really my thing.
Yeah.
And so I think I got intimidated that my voice no longer would be interesting to people because I'm not going to be writing about Leslie Frazier's Tampa 2 defense and how effective it is, you know?
Yep.
So I kind of just got turned off from it then. And the last like year and a half or whatever since COVID has happened, I've had a lot of time to self-reflect. And I realized, you know, this is going to sound conceited, but there is a reason that I am the most followed female in our community on Twitter. And that other than, you know, the professionals, Lindsay, Courtney, and hopefully I'm not forgetting anyone, but people don't follow me because they want the X's and O's, right? Like people follow me because they love the lifestyle that I live, that I go to every Vikings game, that I travel on the road to games, and I'm recording our tailgating stuff, and I'm recording what we're doing during the game, after the game. And people who aren't able to live, people live vicariously through that. And I know that because they tell me all the time. And even if you live locally, you know, people are in different situations, whether it's financially, family, job. And so I know a lot of people enjoy seeing that content. So I think my approach on our future projects is I obviously want to talk about the team, the games, what's going on, but I also want to include a little bit of a lifestyle approach to it.
Yeah.
And, what it's like as a Vikings fan, you know, we're very damaged. We're very, we have a lot of trauma. And I think we approach the world a little bit differently than, say, a cocky, conceited Packers fan. And I just think that's an, I think it's an interesting angle when you also think about our psychology. So,
oh, yeah,
it mix.
Totally. It's like a romanticized sort of, you know, the heartbreak of it, you know, like, it's almost like an addiction at this point. I think.
Yeah.
And what do you mean by, because I, as you've learned, am very, just not, Twitter's not my thing. It never has been. I was a really big Reddit head for a long time. And then I kind of got away from all of that once we launched the brands because of my style of debating topics, I think, for whatever reason, always leads to the next morning, like, a note being attached to my front door with a knife. Like, people just hate the way that I debate for some reason, so I just didn't want my, like, I didn't want to ruin the brand and all the hard work other people were doing because everyone interpreted me as some know-it-all, whatever, you know what I mean? So I kind of got away from it, and I know what the reputation of, like, Twitter is now, but it, in saying that the community was different back then, do you mean it was more positive or more supportive than it is now, or, like, more or less hive-mindy?
Well, I got started in it in 2009, and that was really, I mean, there was not really anybody on there in 2009. So I don't remember that being a huge community that we rallied around each other for the NFC Championship game or anything like that. But in the years after that, I think especially around the time Ponder was drafted is really when it started to become actually like a community of people. We all talked, and the vibe then was just a lot more friendly. I mean, also the team was in a much different spot back then too. But I think now, you know, then it evolved. There was all these blogs. There was all of these people with their opinions. And that was super cool in the beginning to see people that you really enjoyed or respected. Like Ted Glover is one that comes to mind, you know, starting their own podcasts and own content. And, you know, it's like, it's so cool. I mean, even like Jordan Reed, it's so cool to see him where he's at now. But, you know, it started out where it's just, oh, this is my buddy. Let me check out their show. And now it's became, you know, so monetized and such almost like there's the clickbait, and the clickbait starts arguments because people don't read the article and they just assume that one sentence is the person's full opinion. And I think it also has a lot to do with our world now, how polarizing everything is. But you can't be a Vikings fan and think that Kirk Cousins is middle of the road. Like, he's not the worst and he's not the best. You can't feel that way. You either have to think he is, top three, or you have to think he is completely worthless and shouldn't be in the league.
Reason that I left Reddit forever and why they hated me so much was because after 2015, that off season, everybody was saying that Teddy Bridgewater was not only a great quarterback, he was a top three elite quarterback. And I said, we need to, I know where this comes from. I know that we've never really drafted and developed a quarterback for anyone that's my age or younger. But we need to pump the brakes here. Like, the dude has potential, but he's nowhere near. I could name 10 guys right now. I'm not saying he's terrible. I'm just saying you can't say he's a top three guy after 1 year. And people could not accept that. Like, it infuriated them.
Yeah, and so on Twitter, I mean, the first time that I remember things like getting controversial was Ponder, probably, you know, his not that first year because he only played a few games after Donovan, but towards the end of that, then we had 2012, and then so when the writing was kind of on the wall that this wasn't really going to be your guy, it was a stretch to get him where he did, it's not going to pan out, there were so many people that were just not willing, you know, to go that way. And so I used to be way more outspoken back then, and I'd be like, if you think Christian Ponder is a good quarterback, just block me, you know. So you'd lose like 50 followers, but back then that was a lot because there was only like 1,000 of us, you know. So Yeah, so that was like the first time that I remember people just not really getting along. But I mean, now it's a whole other beast, and there's so many younger people involved in it that have a different style of communicating than we do.
Yeah.
And all the, you know, retweet for this, like for this.
Yep.
But I got really disenchanted after the 2017 NFC Championship game. First of all, because that took a huge emotional toll on me to finally go all in and really believe that this was like destiny. But then, you know, we don't need to get into the Kirk thing, but 2018, I didn't see enough changing. I didn't see them getting back to where they were. And then I knew, you know, what I just didn't see Cousins as a fit for the roster that we had at that time. I didn't see how he was going to be successful with no offensive line. And so I didn't understand the signing. And so since then, I don't know, I haven't been able to get my emotional connection back to it. And so sharing my opinions hasn't been something I've been confident in, because I've been too sensitive to receive the backlash in my mentions, and I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
But now I don't care. Like, I have confidence again, and I'm ready for whatever people want to bring my way. So I'm always end up being right in the end. So.
You won't have nobody.
Tampa 2 defense. Just curious. I'm kidding.
Joe, I'm not kidding you. That's exactly what I was going to say. And I'm so upset that you got to that joke first. But yeah, I feel like a lot of my takes from the last few years have become the sort of objective zeitgeist. Sort of everyone disagrees now that that's what it is, but at the time, you know, people who I worked with, who I respected, who I did podcasts with, who I begged to leave Reddit and write professionally, would tell me how crazy I was, and like send me pictures of an island and be like, you're all alone on this island. They have a plan. The offensive line's great. Blah, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, all right. We'll see how that goes.
I don't know. I think Sally made one point about the fact that there's so many different voices out there. Now that allows everybody to be fair game. You can have whatever take you want, you know, and people are going to rail against it, or they're going to ignore it, or they're going to say, yeah, I agree with you. So, I mean, it all comes with the territory. And if you enjoy putting it out there, put it out there. If you don't like what you might hear, ignore the responses and do what you want to do. Because none of it is life concerning, life or death. You know, I mean, it's football. It's fun. You know, make your statement, make your bold statement as Joe is wont to do, and damn the consequences. That's all I say.
You know, and I always say to people, like, at the end of the day, we're all here because of the same thing. We love this team, and we want them to win, and we just don't agree on how to get there.
Yeah.
But
that's sports in a nutshell.
Pretty much. You know, it's just it's rough being a Vikings fan. I don't know, because you're not – I mean, Sally's not even from here. She, like, chose this willingly, which I find – like, very, I'm not 100% sure you're not like a Russian sleeper agent, but you chose a fun team.
I have myself when I get down about the Twitter. First of all, a huge pro tip about it is you tweet something, you let like three people respond, and then you mute it, so you never see what they're saying. Meanwhile, they're all fighting in your comments, and you're getting the engagement and more people seeing your stuff. But anyway, I mean, as far as me choosing this life, I have always been a Vikings fan. I grew up a Vikings fan. My parents are from Minnesota. Yeah, my parents moved to Virginia before I was born.
Okay.
So hence my daddy issues. I had nothing in common with my dad, so I had to watch football. So when he called me once a week, we had something to talk about. And back then, you know,
Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. And so then I found Vikings Twitter. I connected with this community of people. I started traveling to games here, and I just ended up meeting so many people that I finally felt like I belonged somewhere. Because going back to that psychology piece, growing up as a Vikings fan and not having anyone to share that interest with, I mean, obviously other people liked the NFL, but I had no one who followed the Vikings on the level that I did to talk to. And all I had was ESPN to watch, who we all know they never talk about the Vikings. So yeah. It was very isolating. And so when I finally got to connect with people and I'm like, oh my gosh, like there's people that like to do all of the same things as me. I have to be by these people. Plus, let's be real, I can't risk like getting pregnant by a guy who's not a Vikings fan. Like that's not going to work out. Not going to work out. So yeah. So thankfully with that community, I found friends and I found people that I actually feel like I belong with. And I moved here in 2014 and that would have never happened without our community. So I do try to always remind myself when things do get kind of rough in that arena that it truly has changed my life. And so I try to be grateful for that. And I don't suffer alone anymore. So
that's the main thing. Misery loves company. And there's just a lot of that going around. And I don't, you know, I don't want to be one of those people who revels in other people's pain, even though that happens in football a lot. But I mean, I don't think I'm alone in this group when I'm saying it's just like so satisfying to see what's going on in Green Bay. Every week when we do an episode, it seems to get worse. You know, in the agenda I sent out, the question sort of it was multifaceted, but it was, you know, how do they fix it? And then I thought, can they fix it? I mean, if he's holding out, and for the reasons that at least we know that he's mad about, it's not like they can time travel and change those things. You know what I mean, Joe? So it's like, he clearly just doesn't want to be on the team anymore. He doesn't like the management. He doesn't like the coaching staff for things that have already happened. And there's really – I don't see – it's not like they can just solve some go out and be like, hey, even though they didn't do this, obviously. Julio Jones is here. You want to come out of your room now? You know, like –
yeah.
It just seems like, you know – I don't know. Is he going to sit out the whole season? Does he not care about his kind of the stat book and legacy in regards to numbers that much? Like,
he's in love, Joe. Come on. I think,
don't know what that word
you
means.
Know, the team has the upper position. They can trade him or not. And if they don't trade him and he doesn't want to play, he sits. And so he really doesn't have he can do what he's doing as much as he wants, but his situation doesn't change until the team agrees to it. So this thing is starting to look like 2010 is far from coming or not. Is he coming or not? Is he coming? Is he coming or not? You know, I mean, we went on and on and on and on in that season thinking we're on the precipice of a Super Bowl title, waiting on Favre to get, you know, off of his tractor in Hattiesburg and get on a plane and come back to the Vikings. And in the end, he did, you know, even though every day something else is reported, somebody had this or somebody had this. And, you know, that this dribs and drabs come out. I have just kind of taken the attitude. I love the fact that it is disrupting them, and I hope it continues to do that. I do think he will play because he loves the game, and he does know there's a clock ticking. There is for all of us. And I don't think he wants to be here. I think when he comes here, he will probably play well because he plays well with a chip on his shoulder like he did last year.
Yeah.
And that might be detrimental for the Vikings. But ultimately, I think it will get figured out because things – there's nothing that's really happened that says, you know, you haven't crossed the Rubicon yet and that you can't come back, you know.
What do you think he's trying to accomplish then?
He wants to be traded, it seems to me. And they don't want to trade him. You know, I guess I would. You know, I mean, the number of players they could get for him, you know, and now granted they wouldn't have a future Hall of Fame quarterback like they've had for several decades.
But if you draft Jordan Love – you should have enough confidence in him to say he's sat there now for how long? Let's trade this guy. Let's get
but these guys know many, though, Joe. You know, they know what they got in them, and apparently they're not ready to do that, or else
then they shouldn't have drafted them in the first place.
Well, they sat, you know, Rodgers sat for 3 years before he played. Maybe the reason they don't want to do anything because the guy just was MVP of the league, and the fan base would revolt, a tantamount to an insurrection at the Capitol on January 6th. But so I don't know. I think it gets done. I think it gets figured out in the end. He comes back and plays. He plays really well and says, hey, look at me. I'm so good. You know, I can do whatever I want. And then maybe he's gone. You know, you and I have both agreed that, you know, next year he's probably gone or something. But, you know, I'm not going to, beat my breast over this thing anymore. I just say, oh, my God, what's going to happen? Because it's just, you know, until it does, who cares, you know? Other than the fact that it disrupts their camp. I was glad he didn't show up, and I hope that kind of crap continues. But, you know, I don't see anything changing once the season rolls around.
And, Sal, you can answer that question, too, any way you like, obviously. But I also kind of want your thoughts on if we were the Vikings were to replace Cousins with Rodgers with the same roster everywhere else, assuming, let's just say the money works out. Do you think that they would win the Super Bowl or at least be one of the top contenders?
Yikes. Okay, I guess I'll start with that second question. I think that they would improve greatly, and just for the sole reason that Rodgers can extend plays and he's much more mobile. So the wide receiver, and again, we haven't seen this new offensive line, so I'm not trying to crap on them before they even get started, but just based on what we've seen, there would be much more time for these receivers to get deeper. Yeah. So I think it would make a huge difference. As far as Super Bowl, I don't necessarily know. I mean, the offense would definitely be on the field much longer as well, which would give those defensive guys some time to those young guys some time to regroup.
I think the Packers and the Vikings almost had the identical run-to-pass ratio percentage-wise because they're basically both French-Canadian, LaFleur. He's an acolyte of Kubiak, so they were both ran the ball 55% of the time, threw it 45% of the time, and Rodgers arguably had, you know, one of his best years ever. I mean, can you imagine Rodgers with Thielen and Jefferson and Irv Smith? Ugh.
Exactly. So, I mean, I do think they would be better. Now, would they get past an NFC championship game like the Packers can't seem to do? I don't think so. But as far as his status, I think that there's absolutely no way that he comes back. I have to disagree with Joe. I think what we're seeing in Rodgers has a completely different personality and arrogance to him than any quarterbacks that I think we've seen do this in the past. I was so surprised when he even extended with them in the first place, because I think that there were obvious signs that he was disgruntled even back then. And I mean, he's not a guy that I like, obviously, but I kind of got to agree with him. That they haven't given him the tools to succeed. And I would feel disrespected. They don't appreciate him there, in my opinion.
One of
my favorite pastimes when the Packers lose an important game is I listen to Green Bay radio and I hear those people call in and I hear what they're saying. And I mean, maybe it's just the gut emotional reaction, but a lot of them say that they're done with Rodgers and they don't appreciate what they've had. They've been so spoiled, going back to the psychology thing.
Sure.
But I don't think he is the kind, I don't think he's going to bite the bullet and come in. I think he feels extremely disrespected. I think he doesn't vibe with LaFleur at all. And I mean, for them to move, it's not just that they drafted Jordan Love, it's that they moved up to draft Jordan Love.
And they didn't tell him. Like, the Vikings told Cousins.
It's not their job.
But the Vikings, they don't have to. Sure, you don't have to not punch your grandma in the stomach, but it's a bad thing to do.
Did they tell Favre when they drafted Rodgers?
They told Cousins that they were drafting Kellen Mond.
Well, I think you also have to take the personalities into effect here, right? And maybe they didn't know they were drafting Love until they did it. So I don't think you necessarily need to call him, but you do know the personality that you have in Rodgers, and you do know that he's going to be extremely upset by something like that. I'm not trying to say you should plan your whole the future of your franchise around a guy's reaction. Yeah. But if you were just in the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row, and you know he's still got a lot left in the tank, I don't know if that is the move that I would necessarily make, given that he's not an easygoing Cousins-like guy.
If your star player's reaction to any move is to cash a bottle of tequila for the first time in their entire life, something went wrong somewhere.
Well, you know, you're talking about a draft, and you just made mention of the fact that they moved up. Do you know what they're doing to move up in the few minutes they have to make that decision? They're calling all kinds of teams and trying to get the best deal possible to do this and make this move.
Yes.
You think, quick, somebody yes. call Rodgers and tell him
how did they tell Cousins 2 days in advance about Mont?
Well, they probably just told him it was possible that it might happen.
That's exactly it. They
line, and Rodgers is an idiot if he doesn't think that somewhere along the line they got to start drafting quarterbacks to replace me.
Yes,
he was drafting as a quarterback to replace another legend. This is part of the deal.
Sure.
So I'm sure they've had that discussion. But,
sure.
You know, and it was a third-round pick with Mont. So you have time to say, hey, this is what we're trying to do. In fact, I suspect they didn't call Kirk Cousins before they tried to trade up and get Fields either, you know, because they didn't have time.
They just made him aware that they're looking for a potential quarterback of the future just out of courtesy. And the reason I think that Rodgers is additionally mad is because in lieu of saying, okay, this guy before Mahomes is widely considered to be the most gifted quarterback in the history of the league, but he's always only had one receiver to throw to. He finally had a decent running back the last year and a half, and instead of using that pick to get another player, another wide receiver, they just get a guy, another quarterback. It's something.
Well, on the other hand, they've always had a nice offensive line around him, which is something the Vikings didn't. They you know, put in other pieces on the field, a good defense or a good wide receiver, running back. So, I mean, you know, it's I don't know. It just seems to me that some of that, if Rodgers is hurt, well, shame on him. Fine, you're great. You're going to be in the Hall of Fame. But you're not a member of the personnel department of the Green Bay Packers. This is inevitable in football. This is going to happen. You're going to be replaced. Father Time will win. Okay? Get used to it.
But if you were to flip, let's flip everything and just say every Packers player is a Viking and vice versa. And Rodgers has been, you know, a Vikings quarterback since the aughts, and the Super Bowls happened. And we're all sitting here saying, wow, you know, we have back-to-back two of the best, two top five quarterbacks. And we've only won since 1992 with two of the top, maybe even three quarterbacks in the history of the league, two Super Bowls. Why? Well, let's look at Rodgers and say, how much time does he have left? And can we win another Super Bowl? Probably. What's the quickest way to do it? He needs another receiver to throw to of some quality.
Joe, that's what I think. It's not that you drafted a quarterback in preparation for the future. It's that you did it after two straight years of being in the NFC Championship game when you needed something to get you over that hump to get to the Super Bowl, and you used that first-round pick on a quarterback.
Yeah.
So do you think you guys are one game away, or do you think you guys are in rebuild mode? It doesn't match.
How does it work for to pick somebody up for, because you think you're one player away? He says Herschel Walker as an aside. I mean, it's not how it works. You have to be constantly building for the future. You can't just say, oh my God, we're going to pick this one player.
But that was the reality of it. And
top.
you're just using the most drastic, terrible example as possible.
Give me another example. I mean,
I don't know.
Draft what? I'm sorry, you got cut out. I didn't hear that. Joe?
Yeah, I can't hear me.
Drafting any wide receiver of note at that point, as opposed to what you're saying is trade 5 years of draft picks.
Oh, I just said that, but that was the mentality at the time. You're one player away, and I guess I just that's the point I'm making, the counterpoint to. I don't think you can do that in the NFL with, you know, with that many people on your roster. And a rookie's not going to make that much difference to get you over the hump. I don't think they should.
But Justin Jefferson made a huge difference.
And what Sally said.
How did the Vikings finish last year, Sal?
Well, that's if Jefferson was on the Packers, they would have.
The Packers.
They would have won the Super Bowl, and I think her point too.
Well, that's not true. He's only one man. He's not going to, you know. I mean, they're still throwing to other people. I don't agree with that.
It would have increased their percentage mathematically in a way you can't even compute, because you can't find from a factor of zero, because you drafted a backup quarterback instead of somebody who would actually help. And
day one help. No one's saying that one player is going to completely change the entire thing, but you're talking about a team that is still very close to competing for a Super Bowl, and he needs more support. He's been asking for wide receivers for 5 years.
I don't disagree with that. I know he has been. Like I said, he's not in the personnel department, and the people who make that decisions are, and they're looking at a bigger thing to make their decisions, and not just this. This is what Aaron Rodgers wants. He's been asking for this. Good for him. You know, I mean, we're paying him plenty of money to get us over that hump. We're paying him, you know, to work with what we've given him. You know, it's not like he didn't provide him with anything to get to where, you know, it's not like Aaron Rodgers is the only reason they were in the NFC Championship these past 3 years either. He's a huge part of it, but it's a whole team. I
just think that the guy, it's not like we're talking about some like mediocre quarterback. I mean, we're talking about, like you guys said, a Hall of Famer. And I do think that his opinion, his say, should be taken into consideration. And not that he needs to make, he's in the personnel department, absolutely not. But I do think that if my opinion was constantly disregarded when I'm kind of the guy that, you know, runs the show, I mean, the reason, and I mean, I disagree. I think that is why they're in the NFC Championship.
I don't think
there's any way they would be there otherwise.
Sally, they took his, don't you think they took it into consideration before making their decision?
I don't.
I think slightly.
Well, they might not have agreed with them, but I'm sure they considered it. I mean, he's the quarterback. They talk all the time.
It's also incredibly strange that, to me, that instead of, again, we've already gone over it, but instead of getting another wide receiver, you get a quarterback, and then you have Aaron Rodgers, who just won the MVP, so he's at his peak at his age, mm-hmm. in regards to the rate of return on a trade, but they don't want to do it, which implies they value him more than Jordan Love. But then why take Love in the first place and not help the guy you value more squeeze out a final Super Bowl?
Well, maybe they see Love as the heir apparent in the same way Rodgers was to Favre. And they say, hey, we got an opportunity for this transitional quarterback. Here he is. And they traded up for him. They obviously put a lot of value on his talent. So they said, you know, we can get by with Rodgers. He's so good to make our receivers work. We'll find somebody later in the draft to help him out. He, you know, that isn't that second or third receiver isn't as important to us as getting another, maybe saw him as a future Hall of Famer, which of course you can't, but I don't know. It's hard to tell. If I would have done what you guys are advocating, I would have gotten him a receiver and got another championship if that was possible. I would agree. I'm just trying to argue from the point this is what they were thinking. So this, you know, it's I don't think it's disrespecting Aaron Rodgers. I don't think it's devaluing his thoughts on it. I think they're taking what they see at it, and this is the decision they made based on everything. And I'm glad they did. I'm glad he's mad. I'm glad this is all happening. But I think they must have certain reasons to make the decision they did, or else, you know.
Well, Joe, you remember when almost instantly when they got rid of McCarthy and LaFleur came in, like the first show we did, there it was rumblings of trouble in Green Bay. Apparently Aaron Rodgers and LaFleur hate each other, and like you and I before the show didn't really want to talk about it because it was just like it's way too soon for them to not be getting along.
Right.
That makes no sense. So maybe it just wasn't a personality vibe or something.
Well, that kind of goes to what Sally was saying, that his personality, I'm not a fan of his personality either. Favre's, I liked Rodgers. It's just kind of the fact that he has heard about all this is just tells you more than you need to know. But
he's a different animal, but that's why I think he kind of needs to be treated differently. And we all know, not that he deserves more respect or less, but you got to change your communication style with a guy like him. And right now it seems like it's kind of a standstill of one side wants to be right and the other side wants to be right. And I think some of it has to do with, I mean, this is a new coach and a new GM in the last couple years, and they want to put their name on their guys. They want to draft who they think is the future of the team.
Yeah.
And now they'll tolerate Rodgers while they have to. But it's obvious that no one likes each other in the front office right now or Aaron. You know, there's obviously a big feud there, and I don't know how you suck it up and go to work every day when you're Aaron and you're outnumbered.
I would love to be in that quarterback's room. If and when he comes back.
He did it last year, though, and look how he did. MVP of the league, went to the NFC title game again. This is just the kind of stuff that gets him going. And he's got as big an ego as LaFleur and everybody else. They want to, you know, it's all power thing. I mean, when you rise to these positions in this league, there's only so few of them. You have a big ego, and you want to be right, and you want to be you want your decision to be the reason that you did this or you did that. You know, if you went and asked LaFleur right now and you say that, what's-his-face, Rodgers, the reason they got to the NFC title game, he would say, no, it's because of the play calls that I put in.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And going for the kick instead of the...
That exemplifies it. It's very good, Sally. That's exactly right. I mean, that's ego right there. And that would piss me off if I was Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers has the history that he can point to, whereas these guys, the GM and LaFleur, I mean, they don't have that. So I don't understand why they can't just compromise a little bit with Aaron. And I can't believe I'm saying that. I don't like the guy.
I
wouldn't want to work in that hostile work environment. Just let him go. Get what you can for him. I don't know. Maybe they're hoping somebody gets hurt in training camp or something, and that, you know, spikes his value. But he already is so valuable, right?
Yeah,
like, how much better is it going to get?
His value is not going to get any higher than it is right now. I would trade him. I really would. But, you know, it's going to take three or four draft picks and maybe a player or two to do it. You know, and I don't know that anybody else wants to gut their team until they get into the season and see, okay, we got to rebuild right now. Let's go, or we need a quarterback to you know, because you're going to gut your team to a degree to get him.
Yeah,
so
I will say though. I mean, removing like the amount of draft picks and all that stuff. Very few things. As a, it was my birthday 2 days ago, so I'm 37 now. All of a sudden, as a 37-year-old childless human being, your father. I don't have any children. Was my point. Very few things would make me happier than having a purple Aaron Rodgers jersey. That would,
oh my God,
that would be the greatest thing. Just to cut it in half, sew the Favre one to the other side, and just
I could live with the Favre one, but I don't know how I'd feel about a Rodgers thing. But it's, like I said, you'd have to gut your team. You know, Vikings had better be a young, talented team if they want to trade away that many draft choices and players too.
Well, luckily they're the second youngest team in the league apparently, and also they may end up having to trade Danielle Hunter anyway. You know, we talked about him a lot, Joe. You thankfully returned to the writing game for us, and last week you wrote about Zimmer hunting Danielle, and then this week you also talked about the offensive line. But I wanted
But right now, Sally's thinking, what the hell do you want this guy writing for? He's a crap.
No, I'm not.
No, I
want. Like
don't.
You said, there's a void. There's room for all of us. Remember you said that.
I warned her also, Joe. So
good.
You didn't warn me. There is nothing to be warned about.
Except for the maple syrup. We've talked about Daniil a lot, and I thought I would take it a little bit in a different direction, even though this has been out there for a while. But I'm seeing more articles nationally and locally essentially saying that Daniil Hunter made his own bed, and now he has to lay in it because he, you know, the Vikings smartly extended him very early on, so they could essentially get a discount on him if he continued to develop at the rate they thought he would. And Daniil took that money because you never know in the NFL what might happen. You could get hurt, or maybe you won't progress past the point of that money. And so, you know, it's one of those things where people are saying that he shouldn't complain because he signed that contract. But then you add the other variable, which essentially is, you know, it's his neck, and any play he could get not just his career ended, but his ability to walk. It's just a very bad mix of variables, and I just wanted you, Sally, I'll start with you. Your take on the logic people are using of, you know, Daniil made this bed, he should lay in it, stop complaining, you know, stop not coming to stuff, and just play.
Yeah, I think, well, we kind of talked about this on Believe last week. I think that this is kind of how the narrative is going to end up going. The longer that this situation continues to go on, people are going to get frustrated, and people are going to, I don't want to say turn on Daniil as a player, but his attitude towards the contract. And I think that in situations like this, you kind of need to think of him as a human being and not just a player. I mean, when he signed this, like you said, that you want to extend your career as long as possible. You do want some guaranteed money, but he's 26 years old, you know, and he was at the peak of his career before he got injured. And this is a guy who has played at a top level his entire life since he's a very young child. He's never missed an entire season from the sport that he loves and had all this time to reflect and think about, you know, like you said, a neck injury is very serious. And so I mean, I don't blame him for wanting to get more money. I don't think it's an ego thing that he wants to be the highest paid or anything like that. I just think that he knows he has to protect his future, and heaven forbid something happens to him. You know, he needs that security, and I think that he deserves that security. If you signed a contract at your job 5 years ago or whatever the case was, and all of a sudden your production doubled, tripled, you signed a ton of new accounts, you were at the top of your game, and you, wouldn't you ask for a raise? Wouldn't you ask for that contract to be, you know, tweaked a little bit so that you were rewarded for your efforts? I don't know. That's how I feel about it.
I don't have any problem with him asking for it. If we've learned of anything in this league or in sports, that these contracts by either person or side that enters into it are made to be broken. You know, they sign them, and sooner or later, oh God, I blew it. I should have gotten more because I'm better than I thought I was. And they start using whatever leverage they have to get out of it. And that's where I have a little problem with it. Because if the example you just gave, which is a good one, if you have a good sales year and you want your contract, well, then you got to be ready to leave, and you got to be ready to have someplace else to go. Well, the difference in the league is, you can't just leave and go play for somebody else if the Vikings, you know, don't want to do that. They have these contracts. And so it's a tough situation. I don't blame him. I think it's a little bit chutzpah on his part, you know, coming off a neck injury in which he sat out an entire year to say, you know, because he got paid for not playing. And now he's going to come back and say, well, give me more. Because if he was underpaid, he got a year for free. Right.
Yeah. So, but you know, you can also understand where that comes from. You know what I mean? Like Sally said, he's always been healthy, and then he has this incredibly scary thing, you know?
I mean, that's what Mike Hughes had. I mean, he had a neck thing, and now he's no longer a Viking. So I don't know. It's a little concerning. It's a little brazen to come out there and say, you know, I need more money. But I like you kind of talked about in the piece, I think they're both being smart about it. They're not playing the negotiations in the media like Rogers is. And I think that I'm hopeful the Vikings have been trying to make some moves to free up some space to, you know, throw him a bone of some sort to get him back on the team, because you know darn well Zimmer needs him more than anything to make that defense roll, you know. And so you scare me with these people saying, oh, you know, you got it's his own doing. That's true. Therefore, he has to lump it, because, you know, you start thinking in those terms and then they do, you know, because he's not hand to mouth. He's got plenty of money. He can sit out another year, and this one he wouldn't get paid. But I don't know. I the Vikings really need him back. And I, you know, we don't even yet get to try to answer the question. Is he healthy?
Yeah. You
know, we have to sit here and say, come on, figure this out so that we can get you on the field and see if you can play. And at that point, I think the Vikings probably want to do that so that they can then negotiate the best position for the team. You know, until you know how healthy this guy is and what he can do, would you want to throw more money at him? From a management standpoint, I wouldn't.
Well, I would trust that they're going to have independent evaluations on how healthy he is before anybody signs him. I mean, no one's going to sign him just taking his doctor's word for it. There's going to be a multiple professionals that I think are going to have to be independent to clear that. But I mean, it's just, he's got a short career, you know, and if he goes into second game, the neck thing reoccurs, or heaven forbid something worse, I mean, he could potentially be done. So just from a human standpoint, I understand where he's coming from. And I mean, yeah, but you're right. Well, it's totally unknown what type of productivity you're going to have. And so it might end up being, in hindsight, a really bad extension. But that's the situation with anybody.
Right, but I mean, he could come back and not be the same player because he doesn't want to hurt his neck again, you know? I mean,
I think they need to get that Trump's doctor, that guy with the shoulder length hair. If he signs off on it, I say just, you know, give him everything. He's obviously going to be great. You know, it's funny because, Joe, you mentioned that you see the team kind of getting a bit of money freed up here and there, and people are thinking that's either for Daniil or that they're looking for an edge on the other side. But every day almost, if I feel like everyone keeps talking about bringing in Geno Atkins, who's a defensive...
Or another cornerback.
But it's like, why would we bring in another defensive tackle when we at least need one edge? We might end up needing two. I don't know if that's just bluster or subterfuge or something. I'm very happy with the defensive tackles that they have right now. I don't understand those moves. I don't understand why they traded Hughes in the first place, which we obviously talked about already. But if they sign Atkins, I'm gonna be upset, and I'm gonna kind of think the writing might be on the wall a little bit for Mr. Hunter.
Hunter. Well,
Zimmer too.
No, I always look at Zimmer and his track record, and look what he's brought in. You know, some known quantity from an old team that he coached that he really liked that did well for him, and that's where Atkins was with him in Cincinnati. Just like Terrence Newman, you know, he brought in Patrick Peterson. Not that he's had history with him, but he knows him as to be a leader. Zimmer likes those field generals. He likes those locker room guys. He likes those people that can, you know, that can be a leader for these young players on his defense or what have you. And I think that's what's going on here. That's why it's still alive. It's still a thing. I would hate for them to do that in lieu of signing Hunter. Oh my God. I mean, maybe Hunter's requests are so outrageous that they're nowhere near, but
yeah.
My goodness, you got to keep Hunter and worry about Atkins on a, you know,
Hunter, the impact of having him versus not having him, it may be the largest single factor that will determine how the season goes. I mean, if we're looking at multiple variables, I would say how quickly and how well the offensive line meshes and performs.
Joe, if Hunter doesn't come back, Aaron Rodgers comes into camp the next day.
That's what it's all about. And then we could sign Danica Patrick to play defensive end. Or,
oh, my.
Olivia Munn. For a long time.
Yeah, I don't know. Working on what?
Broken up. He's engaged to someone else.
I know. That's what I meant. Like, he'd be afraid of her being there.
I see. I think Olivia Munn is the one who's spoken out against him not being a good person or boyfriend.
Yeah.
So maybe her.
It's framed on the wall in my house.
he does have some issues. He's apparently not a good boyfriend. He's not a good team player right now. He's had issues with his family. That
Why do you think I like him so much? anyway, I was very heartened to see your offensive line piece this week, Joe, and I know that I'm not by any means saying that you haven't also been sort of screaming at the sky for the Vikings to fix the offensive line, and I think you borrowed a phrase from the Ragin' Cajun, James Carville, if I'm not incorrect. That's the second time I've ever used my political science degree. It's
nice.
I got it down to $10,000 each time. it's titled "It's the O-Line Stupid." I would say that people should take a second and go to purpleptsd.com or VikingsTerritory.com and give it a read. But I thought before we hopped off the show, you could kind of do a quick summary of it for the people that won't do a single thing that I just said.
Well, I basically took a 300-foot view of the situation. I mean, everybody was giddy that the Vikings finally, made some reasonable effort to bolster the offensive line for Cousins and talking about. It's ultimately, I think that will have a bigger factor on the season than the defense. The defense was terrible last year, but they went through free agency and made all kinds of moves to bolster it and continue to do so, as we've talked about. So I think Zimmer will get them whipped into shape. I don't have any concern about that, although I shouldn't say that. We talked about that on this last year, and Wobby had mentioned that he thought any Zimmer defense would be good. And to a certain extent, I agree with them, but that didn't show up last year. So I better watch what I say. But anyway, my point is the offensive line is the wild card because, they've got a new left tackle, a new left guard, a center coming off a down year, potentially new right guard, and just only one really returning starter, or I should say two returning starters with Brian O'Neill on the right tackle. So, and I've always said about offensive lines, any of the coaches, Joe, you've got on these shows will tell you that they've got to play together and get to know each other and get some continuity and camaraderie and consistency. So you hope that they make a decision and get who they're going to go with and get these guys playing, because if they aren't playing this year, Cousins will be running for his life again and will be in the same spot as last year. He'll have to rise above it, and they will do all right because they have a good running game. But and the defense will be better. But I think the real wild card is for their season is how this offensive line gels.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it would be an absolute travesty, and it would be maybe the most Vikings thing ever for them to literally change the way that the NFL does contracts to bring in the biggest free agent in the history of the league, and then the entire time he's here, they don't bother giving him an offensive line until basically Kellen Mond comes in. Then, there's literally no way that Cousins is going to be here next year outside of some gigantic, contract change. $45 million guaranteed. It's not going to happen. I'm starting to believe, honestly, that Zimmer doesn't want what he thought he wanted. I think that you know, they looked at Keenum and they thought, you know, we need a guy who can make all the throws, and Keenum can really only have two options each play, and a deep throw and a dump off, and he always goes with the dump off, and it works. And then they go and they bring in a guy like Kellen Mond, who every single pre-draft breakdown that I've read of him, it sounds like he's just a worse version of 2017 Case Keenum.
Oh, my.
Confident game manager who the more that you put on his plate, the more the returns diminish. I don't think Zimmer likes explosive offenses. I don't think he likes any sort of risk. I think he wants to dink and dunk, control the clock,
yep,
win, you know, win 6-3, drive his brand new 1963, you know, Studebaker home, and you know, turn on Dick Van Dyke. Like, he's just not the type of head coach I think that is congruent with the new era of the NFL or the players on his offense. You know, if Justin Jefferson was mad that Cousins couldn't break how reality works, run to his left when the pocket broke down and then instantly throw it while almost getting crushed by a nose tackle, how is he going to feel when Kellen Mond is basically tucking the ball in and picking up 2 yards every single play? Like, do you think that's going to be fun for anybody?
Well, it's fine that he prefers that style of game. The problem is when you get behind early on, or you have no way of coming back when that's your offense.
Yeah.
And so you put yourself in a hole really early if you don't have that ability to come back. Say there's a fumble early on, or, you know, just a broken play and there's a touchdown and all of a sudden then you're down 14 points. You have to have an offense that can overcome those things, and it doesn't seem like he wants to have one that is even capable.
And you have like the Tampa game last year, you know, he wants these really long methodical drives, but you have to score a touchdown on every drive. Otherwise you can have a split of 80-20 time of possession on the clock, but if you kick field goals and in that game miss those field goals, you can end up getting smoked even though the other team only had the ball for 20% of the time.
Joe, I don't want to put words in Sally's mouth, but I think she likes Kellen Mond.
Yeah, I
like controversy. I like that we're going to have something to talk about for the next year every single week.
That away. There you go.
It's going to be...
It's been too calm the last couple years. You know, I need a quarterback carousel potentially happening at any point in my life to feel content and feel like the world is okay. When there's not that option because it's a Sean Mannion or something, it's just not as exciting.
Actually, I never do because that would be kind of disingenuous and gross, but I never like bring up topics that I want to write about because I know the controversy will be good for the financial side of the company. But you saying that, it just occurred to me this second that the Mond Cousins thing is going to make us all a tremendous amount of money. And that's 63 Studebakers. Oof.
And not in a clickbait way, like I touched on earlier. It won't have to be just
no, mine,
like...
Mine's going
to
be clickbait. Did Kellen Mond murder somebody? It doesn't, but you're right. It doesn't need to be clickbait. It's red meat. It's what we're, you know, it's what
Joe,
we're used to.
Every new week starts with Monday. There's your first headline.
You know what? I would literally get a Mond jersey just to like annoy people, just for people to like talk shit to me and like walking into US Bank Stadium and tell me how dumb I am and stuff. But it's such an ugly name in the Vikings font that I don't think I could do it.
You know what's weird?
It's so bad.
And I don't know if it's because maybe I've heard this from you a couple times recently, Sally, but in the last like 2 weeks, before the last 2 weeks, I hadn't heard anything like this, but in the last 2 weeks, I've heard more people complaining about the Vikings jerseys, the fonts, I didn't know people hated them so much.
It's the best jersey in general that they've probably ever had. But just his name with the font, the D looks like an O. I mean, let's be real, it's not a super, like, attractive last name in the first place. But in a different font, it wouldn't look like mono. And it's also so short. It's only four letters, so... Yep.
And
I don't know. It just
he
kind of really
plays like
right.
He has mono, you know.
Oh my gosh! Let's wait and see.
Yeah, not... so Scott, this carousel doesn't start until 2022, though. I mean, there's no way.
Well, if they start off super bad, I mean, if Cousins starts out not being good, it's going to start early. You know how these fans are. It's going to start. If they're 0-3 in the first three games and Cousins has anything to do with it, they're going to just – I mean, look, they were 0-6 this year – or, wait, 1-6, and people threw in the towel then. So it's very possible that they could have the chance in October.
Yeah, and even if they went 0-3 and Cousins had, like, 141 passer rating, 16 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, or 0 interceptions, people would blame him. So it's always going to come down to him, but somehow it's never Zimmer's fault, which I think is very interesting. We love our mediocrity here in Minnesota, and that's the best way to end the show, because that actually used to be the tagline. but I wanted to thank Sally for coming on the show, for tethering her brand to ours. I'm sure she's second-guessing that as we speak. let people know where they can find you on the old Twitter.
At Sal Spice, one word, Twitter, Instagram, other places that I won't mention.
You can find Joe at Joe Oberle, and you can find me at VT. PTSD. We will be back next week, hopefully with another amazing guest and a last-minute agenda. But thank you, everybody in Detroit Lakes and Fargo, for checking the show out. Got some good feedback from the station recently, so that's always cool. And you can always find us on, you know, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Just basically go to Google and type things in, especially if you're in Costa Rica, where me and Joe are celebrities. I don't know how, but last week we heard we were the number one sports show in Costa Rica. So,
wow.
Yeah, we got that going for us. So,
Well, that's just where
that's a bragging right. You should advertise that more.
I don't want to, because that's where my offshore banking is. So,
Oh boy.
Are we recording? Anyway, but thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back next week. This has been the Vikings Territory Breakdown for the 9th of June 2021. Skol.